When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Were you bemused? Were you confused by Matt Eberflus at his Monday media meeting? Why did he talk about change and adjustment but decline to reveal what those might be? Do you believe he was caught mid-process? Had he not told everybody their new role? Was it some weird competitive advantage for the folks behind the cheddar curtain? How indecisive did he appear?
Boy. Yeah, I think that's good. I found the whole thing puzzling. He appeared so indecisive, and it's really not that hard. It's just you make a decision and you move on. Maybe you're right. Maybe they needed to talk to Gruden. I don't know what it could be, but they did not have, it wasn't a satisfying event. It was just kind of, you just felt more of the same. You just felt like, The muddle continues, that it's just sort of confounding. And I get it. It's not easy. It's difficult. You got to make sure everyone knows. But you, what do you do? Are you running around trying to get everyone on board? Or are you just telling people, here's what I'm doing? Or are you commiserating? And how many people need you talk to? Talk to what? Figure out what you want to do. Run it by your boss and then go to work. It doesn't seem that complicated, but for whatever reason, these things always end up being a lot more complex in places where you feel they're struggling than in places where you feel like they got a handle on things. And you're operating, I suppose, from a negative to begin with. So maybe it appears that way from the outside. But I once again did not come away with the feeling that all is good here. Wow, they really got a handle on this. You came away with sort of a shrug and a just kind of throwing your hands up a little bit. Like, does anyone care how this looks? Because the whole laughingstock thing that you brought up earlier, David, you just don't want to appear to be stumbling and bumbling, right? And that's how they look quite often.
Maybe it's professional courtesy. It's obviously, at least to me, a Trace Armstrong thing. This is, they don't want to, they're all under the agent of Trace Armstrong. Poles, Eberflus, and Waldron. I think that's a large part.
Yeah.
Why it wasn't enough. But by him not, by him, I think it was Biggs who asked the question and part of the follow-up. There was five or six questions in a row. I played the chunk during the pregame show. Will Shane Waldron still be on the staff? He could have said yes. He didn't. And to me, that was very telling. Mm-hmm. And that also means, again, if I'm understanding the word I think he knows what he's doing. He just doesn't have to tell us. And he doesn't like this group of media people. He doesn't. He doesn't have to. No, I would not. I think overall, especially last year, he was completely disrespected by media people that assumed they were no longer going to have to work with him. Because at the end of the day, there is a partnership up there. Okay, there is a give and take.
Fair enough, but it's not his job to like the media corps.
No, but I'm saying if he liked the media corps, if he thought there was a better working relationship, perhaps yesterday he would have told them. But
we should get back to that.
There's going to be change. Here's what we know. There's going to be change. Shane Waldron, it would be the upset of the century if Shane Waldron is calling plays at Soldier Field on Sunday against the Pats. That's changing. And the question is, who's calling it, and is Shane still around? Those are the two questions still to be answered.
Yeah, they know what's going on, and they were game planning on Monday with everyone doing, maybe performing their new roles. I just don't think they wanted to share it. They weren't in a position to share it. Maybe they're still talking to other people, whether it's John Gruden, Frank Reich, or somebody else outside the organization for a little direction. Mostly it was disappointing. All the other things apply, embarrassing. You can pile on if you wish, but it was disappointing because it was an opportunity for a head coach to assert some leadership and to be decisive and to be strong and really just be simple. Yes or no, pick a lane, go down it, and don't look back. I think people would respect that. Even if it was the wrong decision, sometimes the way that you announce it or the way that you execute it, you gain respect, and the Bears are lacking respect right now. This is what I can't figure out about Matt Eberflus, who I do, as you know, like personally, but professionally so easy to question. He was a very good Mid-American Conference linebacker. He had hundreds of tackles in college. He only did that because he had football instinct, and he just reacted, right? Football players just react. They read and they react. As a play caller, he's very good. We've called him elite.
Yes.
As a play caller. You know why? Instinctively, he just reacts. What do you want on 3rd and 5? Okay, this formation, boom, go, call. This is what he does. He reacts, and that has always served him well. As a head coach, he's just like reading his keys, watching what's going to happen. He's not reacting. He's reading. It's like it's off a script, and it's very clumsy, and it's very ineffective. And yesterday was clumsy and ineffective. Mostly it was disappointing. You can do better, Matt Eberflus. Just be yourself. Just react.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs. We'll see what he thinks at 7. It's Biggs time with Mully and Haw. Do you believe Eberflus when he says the decision on Shane Waldron is, quote, mine alone, end quote? Why does he have to talk it through with everyone in the building and meet with GM Poles if he has the final voice? Is he searching for a consensus?
I'm not sure he's searching for a consensus. I think that he is probably limited in his capacity to act like that. I think he's limited in that capacity because you've got a lot of cooks in the kitchen right now. And you've got a complicating factor that the agent representing your offensive coordinator that you're trying to fire is also your representative. And oh, by the way, your boss's representative. So it does muddy the waters quite a bit. And I do think that it's a complicated thing and situation at Hallis Hall where they don't do well with complicated situations. So I don't think it's just his decision alone. That's the way they want to present it, but nobody's buying it. I would like to hear from Ryan Poles. I would like to know why we haven't to this point. This is the 3-game losing streak. That qualifies as a crisis in the NFL, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Look around the league. Cover your ears because they're making fun of you. And when you see that, when you hear that, I think you need to respond to it. If you are the overseer of this great organization with such a proud tradition, you know, when you're being mocked, fight back. What do you fight back with? I don't know. But if you're Ryan Poles, I would want to be heard right now. I would want to make it clear that maybe it is Matt Eberflus's decision. You support your head coach or you don't. I think right now the silence is deafening. I don't hear a lot of support coming from that office. And as the longer this goes on, the more you wonder or the more you know.
And didn't they say there's going to be a lot of noise after this loss? I think they said that yet on Sunday afternoon. Well, they're not helping put an end to the noise by doing what they've done since they addressed the media the first time after the loss on Sunday. Their lack of transparency creates more stuff for us to pick apart, more things for the fans to be upset about. And it should not be his alone. Well, you guys tell me. I mean, in all seriousness, you guys have been around this way longer and in a better position to ask these questions and gain knowledge than I have. Is it typical that head coaches in the NFL, especially of Matt Eberflus's status, would have sole control over their staff and that the GM would just say, okay, you report to me, everybody else reports to you? Is it that simple?
Yeah, I think most NFL head coaches control their staff and decide on the hiring and firing of the coaches under them.
They do.
They do.
But it's now, within consultation with the boss.
I was just going to say, but you are in partnership with someone.
Yeah.
And you are sharing decision making. And when you are told, guys, I mean, a week today, I think our first question, are you surprised that Matt Eberflus stuck with Shane Waldron as his play caller? That was after the Arizona game, and it got worse. Okay, so this is not a breaking story for the Chicago Bears. They've lost three games in a row. They've gone through a process where they've had the coach confronted by players that were upset about what he was doing. This has gone on. This what we're talking about now has bled over week after week after week, even when they were winning. And that's, they got through it, and that's how they started to put some games together. That and the fact that they played the worst teams in the league. But this is not breaking news. This, you know, if you weren't thinking about this before the game last Sunday, then guess what? Then you didn't do your due process, your due diligence. You didn't go through what you got to be aware of. Hey, okay, what would happen if something went wrong here? Well, you know, I'm just saying that is the job of the people in charge to monitor this. And we are at a tipping point if we haven't already tipped over. So, I mean, this is the reason it's frustrating is because they've reached a point where you know what's going on and something is going to happen. It's just they can't announce it yet for whatever reason. But, yeah, there's going to be an announcement. There's going to be news whether it leaks out today or we find out tomorrow.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That's a good question.
That's the voice of Coach Dave Wants. It'll be in studio for two segments beginning at 7:40. Mike Sando of The Athletic wondered in his piece about the Bears whether a head coach with a strong personality would be considered by the Bears. Is there a head coaching search because team president Kevin Warren would prefer a first-time head coach who's easier to manage? Is there any credence to that?
I love Mike. He does a great job. I think it's fair to wonder and wonder aloud, but I would also say that if Kevin Warren is worried that a strong personality would, whatever this implication is, damage his control or keep him from getting the kind of accolades that are going to come his way if they start winning. Hey, you want to run an organization correctly, you get the best leader you can find and you let that guy do his job. You hire people to do the job that you hire them to do. And you don't care. You take your ego out of it and you do what's best for the team. You get the best personality, the best coach. Now, David's going to disagree with me. Hire the best guy. I'm
not disagreeing with you, Molly. I'm wondering if he's capable of doing that.
Well, now then.
That's the question,
isn't it? Now, you know what we're asking. Is this guy a coward or does he need a level of control that can only be managed by having power over someone? That's what you're asking. I'm not gonna damn Kevin Warren and say he has to have a coach who doesn't know what he's doing quite yet so he can be avuncular. Because I think if that's the case, then they hired the wrong guy as president.
Well, I think this is really fascinating because the other part of this, and maybe it's not in the question, and again, we have limited space. I did not read the article, so you guys can tell me. The big omission in this, you brought in his name, Ryan Poles. Where's his name? Because guess who didn't hire Ryan Poles? Kevin Warren. Does Ryan Poles report to Kevin Warren, or does Ryan Poles report to George McCaskey? Because if I'm right and the Bears don't win another game this year, and Kevin Warren's out there looking for public money for a new stadium for the Bears, How's all that going to work? It might not matter if the Bears are in the playoffs, but it make it a whole lot easier to ask for public money if the team's doing well. When the team's in the toilet, go ahead.
I was just going to say the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, okay,
and struggled with it, and have
won Super Bowls. They're the best team in the league, the best organization because they have the best player. And they can't get money for a stadium. So I don't know that it's connected. I think those are different asks.
Okay. I'm just saying, my point is, at some point, Kevin Warren has to get involved, like you're saying. And at some point, does he say, I am cleaning
house.
That
seems implausible. Don't you think the way that he considers himself a mentor to Ryan Poles, he's not going to fire his pupil?
Well, he's
going to
say that public, but David, did he hire him? Did I miss that? Who hired him?
I think
Warren hasn't gotten to hire anybody yet.
I don't think he's going to be that. He's not going to be the one that gets rid of Ryan Poles. I don't think Kevin Warren would be doing that. Look, I understand everything you're saying, Mully, and I think that that's the fair way to look at it. But I think what this story reflects is the understanding or the perception that Kevin Warren's ego is too large to bring in somebody who is a strong leader as a head coach. And it also suggests that there's the expectation that if there is a coaching search, that he's going to be a big part of it because he is the team president. He may not be a football guy, but he considers himself a football guy. He's front and center every time that there's a big moment at Halas Hall with the Bears organization. So I do believe that it would affect the process, because what Kevin Warren wants as much as anything, based on his tenure as the team president in Chicago, is that he wants influence and he wants impact. And you can't tell me that if they're going to hire the next head coach of the Bears, that he's not going to want those two things when all of this happens. He's going to want his fingerprints all over that process. He will say it's Ryan Poles' decision to make. He will say it's Ryan Poles' coach to hire. And he will be the one up there, the puppeteer at Halas Hall, pulling all the strings, because I don't think he can help himself. And I think that's the leader that he has become. And that is that a product of his ego, his oversized ego? Maybe. I want to be fair here. But I do think that it's inconceivable to me that they're going to have a coaching search and he's not going to be at the forefront of it.
Honestly, I've been fighting myself with this question for a long time.
That's the voice of Jalen Johnson at One Point Monday. Adam Schefter, four-letter network, floated the idea that the Bears were considering benching Caleb for Tyson Bagent, which Matt Eberflus dismissed.
Matt, are you going to make a change in quarterback?
No, Caleb is our starter.
Where did that come from, and was that a realistic consideration?
I sure hope not. That was maybe, with due respect, Patrick Finley asked some very good questions, and I know why he asked it, because it was out there. But are you serious? I would like to be, you know, I'm on the board of directors of the Bagency, but this is not a serious conversation. This cannot be a serious conversation. You can't bench your number one overall draft pick. You cannot bench Caleb Williams unless you take him out of the game to remove him from harm's way, which we know they don't do, okay? They haven't done. No. No. 100 times no.
But what you just said, David, and I have also supported the idea, taking him out of the game, or and I had a really passionate conversation for 90 seconds, we'll say, with Olin Krutz at the remote. You know, if you're going to leave Caleb in, because he's obviously a big part of the team, and Mully, I think you're going to support this, you cannot have him with four wide receivers behind that offense. Hand the ball off, understand the situation, be part of the team. We're all in this together. But again, if he, Caleb Williams, can't protect himself, let's say we might hear from some former ex-NFL quarterbacks that six of the 9 sacks were on him. So if he personally can't figure out how to protect himself, and the offensive line can't protect himself, and the play caller from the last couple weeks can't figure out what plays to call to protect him, then maybe it's a good idea that he's not in the game. Because you know what you don't want to do? You don't want there to be an injury at this point that would require surgery, and then all of a sudden he's not available till week 7 or 8 of the 2025 NFL season.
Now he's in surgery.
Yeah, I think just, you know, take a breath. You know, here's what you can't do, all right? There's basically one thing. You cannot draft a guy number one overall, get rid of any competition, get rid of any idea that you have another player that could use some playing time or deserve some kind of... You can't clear the whole path for him, give him the team, and then say, yeah, you know what, we probably should have made you sit and wait for a year. You just can't do that. He's your starting quarterback.
They can't unring that bell.
He's your starting quarterback for now and forever. Amen. He is the man. He remains your starter. You figure out a way to not throw the ball, to not try to force him into peril, to figure out a way to keep him safe. You obviously started making bad decisions about 2 or 3 years ago when you started looking at their offensive line. Regardless, you cannot damage his confidence on top of everything else you're doing to damage his career. For the love of God, you do not bench a quarterback who's number one overall.
I can't believe we're talking about this. I
mean, honestly, then if they do that, let's go to court.
We're gone.
We're
gone.
Filing lawsuits everywhere.
We're talking about fireable offenses.
Oh, my God. Oh,
okay, that should have been the last question. Sorry.
Different question on a different topic.
Look at Dustin's face. Bitter beer face.
I mean, Adam Schefter put it out there.
I know.
It wasn't Dustin Rhodes, morning show producer at The Score, Dustin, Matt Eberflus, floated an idea on the Mully and Haw show.
We're not yelling at you.
I didn't say you were, but the reason it got asked, the reason it got brought up is because the great Adam Schefter suggested it.
I know. Somebody's saying that.
He probably listened to the show. What do you think of the way the Bulls competed against the Cavs, who surprised the NBA by winning their 11 games ahead of their game Monday night? So they are now 12-0, are the Cavs. Are the Bulls in the same league? Well, I guess they're all in the association, right?
I was impressed with the Bulls last night. They competed a lot closer and a lot longer than I thought they would. That first half of that game was exceptional. They went back and forth. There were lead changes and there were ties, and it was like a back and forth tough basketball game, and the Bulls looked like they belonged on the court with the Cavs. And if you watch that game, you felt the Bulls are a better team than maybe their record shows. And I, honest to God, was very impressed with how they played, and they stayed in that game till the end of the game. You know, they didn't fall behind by 20 and need some miraculous comeback. That was a back-and-forth game. You know, the guy that kills them is Donovan Mitchell. He just – he is so good. And he – every time they needed a bucket or anything – I mean, they got a lot of good players, but that guy is a special player. And, you know, you see a guy like that and you wonder, like, how did he wind up there? Like, how did they figure out how to get him and the Bulls couldn't? Because he's a hell of a player. That was good stuff, man. That was a really fun game, and I almost congratulated the Bulls on their competitiveness.
Well, I mean, the difference is the turnovers, the points off of turnovers. You got too many guys. Like, who's supposed to have the ball in their hands to facilitate the offense?
Lunt.
You know, is it Giddey? Is it White? Lunt. You know, those two together had 9 turnovers. You know, sometimes Zach is playing like the power forward point guard role. Mm-hmm. So who is supposed to do that? But again, there was one superstar. There's one superstar. His name's Donovan Mitchell. Okay, every night he doesn't have like a 36-point night and then have a 16-point night. like Max LaVine. Okay, that's not what he does. It's not what he does. You know, when you have those that many guys scoring in double digits, and Mully, you're right. That was a nip and tuck type of game, right? You look at the box score, very tight. You know, Bulls won the first quarter by a point, lost the second quarter by 2 points, lost the third by 2 points, lost the fourth by 3 points. You don't maybe three or four less turnovers. Maybe that game's going to overtime, and you're getting extra basketball. Who knows?
No, no doubt about it. 21 turnovers, too many. We're short on time. Donovan Mitchell is a superstar. Kenny Atkinson has that team off to a great start. They're playing at a pace like the Golden State Warriors are shooting threes. 12-0 is incredible. The Bulls gave them all they could handle. That was an encouraging loss, if you can have such a thing in the NBA. I know you want to win all those games, but they did play at a high level for a long time. Too much Darius Garland, too much Donovan Mitchell. Bulls, though, they have to be a little bit encouraged. If they take care of the basketball, they're a pretty competitive team.
Mully, I got a question for you and Hawk.
Jared Payton answering questions at 9 o'clock. How do you feel about NFL commish Roger Goodell announcing the league plans to play 8 international games next season? London, Spain, Brazil, Mexico City, Germany, and maybe Ireland. Do you like the early morning starts, and where would you like to travel to see an NFL football game?
Well, I like the idea of Bears Steelers in Ireland. We could do that. Mm. I'd like the idea of whatever venue they choose, Spain, Brazil, Mexico City, Germany, the official, that is the line judge or the, whoever speaks in to the audience, speaks in that language, like Sean Hockley did speak German in the Munich game.
That was great.
But look, this is just more of growing the sport. I think you like it unless you're maybe a player. Heard that from Olin and Pat the other day. But this is inevitable, so you might as well embrace it.
I have no problem with those 8:30 kickoffs Chicago time. I've never been to Europe. I'd like to go to any game in Europe. And if I had to pick off of this list, Spain is the top of my list. I that's where I want to go. My first trip to Europe, I want Spain to be part of that trip.
Wow. That is insane that you haven't been there. I don't know what's holding you back. You should get that done. I'm all for it. I love this idea. I think that the fans make Germany a fun place to want to go. I really think that London is a phenomenal city. Obviously, Ireland is the homeland, for the love of God. I belong at that game. Let's Scorehouse Ireland. Could Scorehouse Dublin, there could be damage done. So let's be aware of that. It's interesting you say that. I think that Spain would be phenomenal. Barcelona or Madrid, I'd go either place, but it would just be, it would be sensational. It would be the makings of a great weekend for sure. I gotta be honest with you, I'm trying to think if there's anywhere on this list that I wouldn't be excited to go. I don't speak Portuguese, but I'm willing to make a fool of myself. Brazil sounds great. Mexico City.
I think Australia. I'd like to see on the list all those punters.
Oh, that'd be great.
And they have a lot of. They have a punter factory. They develop a lot of punters in Aussie.
It's because they play that Aussie rules. We could go to a game at the Aussie. We could go to like the Melbourne Cricket Ground.
You could. It's too long of a flight.
See the guy.
Perth House. We can say it at my aunt and uncle's.
Okay, I don't know if I'm going to Perth.
Yeah, it'd be great in Perth.
Going to Perth to see the Bears lose by 10.
You would do very well in Perth.
They have a good football team there. Their professional football team is actually pretty good.
Do they really? Yeah. What's the nickname?
The Eagles, I believe. They're blue and gold.
Kangaroos?
Yeah.
That's good. Good stuff. All right. We got the X Point next. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 The Score.
Verstand Angriff.
Oh.
5 yards Treffen. It's by the center. It's third down.
Oh, look at Sean Hockley hooked on Fox.
Showing up.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.